Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With kids rushing out to spend their money on records by groups like the Beatles, it was boom times for the music industry. But times have changed. Technology has transformed home entertainment. And many young kids now are growing up spending their time and their money on this kind of strange electronic world.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always, it's Ben Vanell.
That's right, Tommy. I'm not going to enunciate any particular words.
We're all trying out some different intonation this week. This is a bit of fun.
I was going to say, before you threw me off with that wild inflection, that you almost started talking before I pressed record.
I was raring to go.
I'm always scared you're going to do that when we record. You say good as soon as the button gets a finger near it.
That's right, Adam Knox.
Yeah, I'm Adam Knox.
You're hot off a couple of recording sessions
I've just
already.
Done a couple, I'm in the zone. I also, you know, from editing pods, I know what it's like. You get the recording and there's that 2 seconds of silence before the host starts that you got to trim out.
You wiggle the microphone a bit.
Needless busy work.
Oh, I love it. Clicking and dragging. Yeah, two of my favorite things to do with a mouse.
What are you dragging?
Clicking the edge and dragging it over.
Right. We should make you isolating the silence and just keeping it on reserve for a later part of the podcast.
You gotta make sure you got original copies of every file.
Right. Uh-huh. And I think, when Knox does a good joke, he adds that silence in for like the audience to laugh.
Yeah.
It's very thoughtful.
I don't know if you guys have ever listened back to the podcast, but the canned laughter that I've been able to find and add through to this.
Yep.
It's infuriating. And every time Ben says something, the crowd goes, aww. Like a little baby's just learned to walk. Yeah. And when Tommy says something, I put in a, ooh, like two people have kissed.
Oh, that is
I'm the only funny one.
That is a weird thing about the studio audience in old sitcoms dynamic, because they started out and they were pretty much exclusively going for gags. Mm-hmm. And then, friends would start to sneak a little pathos in there, and you'd have like Monica being like, oh, my dad's just died or whatever. And it's like this revved up studio's been like, aww.
It's weird how they all knew what noise to make as well. Mm. You never get a confused response from the crowd where like some people are like, ha, 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 because they appreciate the levity of the situation of Monica's dad dying at such an ironic time. But so it's groupthink, man.
They should put in the little exhale out of the nose laugh. Because that's honestly my most common response to sitcoms is like
That if like
that picked up.
If modern media, if TikToks and YouTube videos had audience tracks in the same way, like recorded the first 1,000 people to watch thing and played it back, you would get a lot of and a lot of like.
I like the
a
idea.
Lot of,
that
look at this. I'll look at it later.
Yeah. A lot of friends who you've shown it to, like not laughing and feeling your eyes burn into the side of their face as you watch for their reactions.
I'd like a few more studio audience canned laughter tracks that are just this one. Funny.
Whoa.
What?
In unison. Everyone in unison. Funny.
The whole crowd, huh? All right.
It must have been sick to be like in the studio audience for one of those like massive like the episodes where like Chandler proposes or whatever. And you're like, what, those like huge moments that Friends had, and you're like able to pinpoint like, yeah, man, I was up there in the third row. Well, we didn't know what was going to happen.
Those
we lost
ones
our
have
minds.
The whoops and the like, woo, yeah.
Woo.
Like go
they'd
back.
Have the really unique responses.
Yeah. If you go back, they should go, it'd be a fun project to go back and redo the audience sounds for old sitcoms that have dated poorly, like Cheers.
Oh.
I've watched a bunch of Cheers, and most of that is Sam being a fucking cunt.
Yes.
He's like just the worst dude.
Yeah.
And if you did that with modern audience, they'd be like, ooh.
So you just the
lock him up.
The audience laugh track is just like the clacking of keys as people are getting on Twitter to just like get Sam cancelled.
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, I don't know what a
Morse code.
Yeah. Sailor sitting watching it. That was meant to be the notifications, but I can't do a...
That was ba-ting. No, that was the Titanic sinking, and that was the Morse code for people being like, aww.
Anyway, if you can't tell, it's one of them weeks where not many games are out.
We're still in the...
I love it.
Yeah.
You get to talk about other things. 2023, a lot of good games coming out this year.
Oh, we're on the crest of the wave, right?
We'll Absolutely. Have some busy surfing to do.
Yeah.
So well, this nice is the dog to... days of summer in yes. terms of game releases. And then
that's
as
seven
of
summers
next
in
week.
Human summers.
As of next week.
Yeah.
The little... What do they call it? The sluice lever is being pulled. Sure. And the slop is just... being emptied into the trough.
That's right. We're putting our snouts right in.
Exactly.
To Fire Emblem Engage.
Forspoken and yes. fucking...
Well, maybe.
Will you do me the honour of making me the happiest Fire Emblem on Earth?
Yeah, I get the feeling that Forspoken will be the like the giblets and whatever.
Yes.
And then you've got the meat of Fire Emblem Engage, hopefully. The fun little sugar and spice of Like a Dragon Ishin. Mm. That's next week, too.
That's next week?
Yeah.
Fuck my ass. <There's a laughs> As I used stuff. To say back then.
Open the sluice. And so I'm looking forward to it.
Early reviews are out on Engage.
Yes.
People are into it.
People are loving it.
People are really enjoying it. I think we said this last week, less social stuff than Three Houses, which I don't mind. There was heaps of that in that. I loved it in that. Had my fill of it. Down for more tactical shit.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you tell me that I can be less social in any way and I'll be more into it.
We should also say, you know, we haven't been playing a lot of games lately, but we have filled our time with something games related.
Mm.
And that... is something produced by the folks at the Home Box Office.
Yes.
We watched the first episode of The Last of Us TV show.
Yeah, we love everything about it except for the laugh track being in there. Feels callous.
I like it. It's a throwback.
Yeah, me too.
I recognize
it tells me
them.
When to laugh, honestly.
All those laughs and awes from Cheers, I'm picking them up and I'm judging what they're laughing at.
But yes, we started a podcast called Clicker. I barely know her.
Mm-hmm.
It's on its own feed and it is, yeah, similar style to Are You Talking to Me, Knock and I's show about Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon. We just go through the whole damn episode. It's all three of us.
Yep.
And we just have a little chat and do some funny jokes and pick it apart. No spoilers in the first like hour and a bit of the show.
Yeah, there's like a bit for people who are watching. If you're watching the show or like someone, I mean, a lot of people who are listening to this probably have either played or know the story of The Last of Us through osmosis or whatever.
Yep.
We're spoiling the
osmosis
show.
Osmosis Jones goes around and spoils shows for a lot of people. He was yelling out Dumbledore dies to all those book lines back in the day. Yeah.
God.
Sorry.
You
Jones
spoiled Hogwarts Legacy for me.
I reckon I'm not the person who's managed to pull that one off. She's living in a castle somewhere, the one who spoiled that game.
Oh, yeah.
But
we're spoiling the show. We're going through all the plot beats of the show,
but
we're not going like, oh, interesting that this is in here because obviously later on this is going to happen because of the game. We're doing a bit of that at the very end in a little sealed section. Yeah. So if you're watching the show, if you've played the game and you're maybe watching it with someone who has never played the games, you can enjoy... We're treating it as just a dissection of the TV show.
Yeah.
We're not getting too much into how it's comparing to the games.
Yes.
So go have a listen to that if you're interested, which I bet a lot of people are. And so far, good show.
Yeah.
First step's great.
We loved it. We watched it together.
Mm-hmm.
Good experience. Bleak show, but also, very well made. And we're excited to watch the rest of it.
Yeah. People are loving this show.
Yeah.
Even here, it's seen a lot of discourse of people online who, have no familiarity with the game. So I think we've been talking about this show for a while from it being announced and everything. Mm. Big speculation about like, how do you make this succeed as something that stands on its own merits and is still appealing to fans of the games who know what's coming.
Mm.
And they've done it.
Yeah. It's similar to Game of Thrones, I'm sure. Like we never read all of the books, but people did and they still loved the show. I think second biggest ever premiere for HBO. Mm. I think after House of the Dragon, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people are watching TV these days.
You're damn right.
They used to have to go to the studio and watch it and laugh along. But now you can just do it from the quality of your own couch.
That's exactly.
Right. So that's all. Clicker, I barely know her. It was because we'd be spending at least an hour every week on this show talking about it otherwise. So we figured we'd separate them. Speaking of shows, I've been watching a YouTube show.
Ooh.
By
Joseph Rogan himself. No. Well, that's only on Spotify now, actually. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I take it back.
Thank you. That's the one reason that I... it's by Sakurai, the developer of Smash Brothers and Kirby. He's got a YouTube channel he's been doing for like 4 or 5 months now that I only learned about in the last week. That's all.
It's funny because we definitely talked about it on this podcast.
Did we really?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
Same time as we talked about Kojima starting a podcast.
Okay, so ages ago, I guess.
Yeah.
So was that before he was even doing it? I don't know.
I think it was. Yeah.
You know when you know about something and then you think you learn it later then?
Yeah.
That's what's happened to me.
I was watching Breakpoint last night, the tennis documentary on Netflix, and they have a whole episode about Maria Sakkari. But her name is spelt almost the same. And in my head, every time before they started saying it on screen, every time it kept coming up, I was like, God, I hope when someone finally says her full name that it's Sakurai. That would be fucking awesome.
Well, it's confusing because she's always sucking the ball up as well and
bouncing
herself around
and then
the court.
Getting the abilities of the ball.
Yeah, very close to the abilities that she as a little pink blob already had. It's all like game development tips. They're short little videos, like 5 minutes or less each generally. And they just focus on like one aspect of game design. Like I watched one last night, the most recent one he put up was I think about like scale, trying to depict scale, and he's like got a little model motorbike and a big motorbike, and he's like they look the same if you don't know which is which, but you can do this trick and here's a normal map and you can use that to create the right amount of reflection so that things will reflect how our brain expects a big thing to reflect. And
oh, interesting.
Like goes it's a really well done like broad and understandable thing, but if you were developing a game, it seems genuine. I mean, here's a guy who's been developing games for fucking 30 years plus, I think.
With so much attention to detail. Like, those videos that he would do, any new character that he's putting in the game, it's not just... I think this is why we all felt like when we played Multiverses, it was a little bit... just a little bit surface level and a little bit floaty, but him putting, like, Banjo-Kazooie in and being like... No, I really think about the weight of the character their moveset and how they, you know, how it should all work. Like, it's clearly something that occupies just one new character being in occupies hours and hours and hours. And then you've got to think about reworking all the other characters and how they're going to respond to all these different attacks. And
it's really interesting because, it is that. And it's like game development as the artistry version of it rather than it being too technical. It's like there was one about attack poses where he's saying like you should probably have it be slightly off center or it looks a bit weird unless you're deliberately making it centered for like comedic effect, and there's Wario like doing a clap in the middle and like uses footage from a bunch of other games, and it's fascinating watching him talk about like here's how this was done well in Halo or whatever and like showing like examples of like this is the pose that we got back for this one attack for this one character, one of the Fire Emblem ladies, I think, I don't know her name, and this is what the animator sent to me and I changed it to this, and it's just her hips being slightly more out and her arm being slightly more up, but you're like that does look better for some reason. Like you're talking about the still, like he knows his shit obviously, and he's laying it out there in a really giving way, like not withholding any industry secrets sort of thing. But every one of them ends up coming down to you just kind of have to have a sense for it as well. You need to learn it.
It's kind of like all the masterclass videos. It's like you can you can say how you did it and like describe and show examples of technique. But also, in the back of your mind, it's like, well, but you're David Lynch, so you had a natural talent for this. And that's why.
And some things just do look right and wrong.
Right.
And you can't teach how to know that. You just know it.
And that he will end up saying a lot of the time, like, it's with experience and trial and error, and you just got to learn this stuff. But here's the basic concepts. And it does, you know, I've never developed a game. It gives you an insight into a little bit of backstory for you.
Okay.
It's not what you told me when we met on an online dating app.
I said I developed a game. That's how I got you.
He said he read the game.
I said I learned everything I know from Sam from Cheers. And the audience was hollering for him.
That's
so
right.
It's got to be good. It's fascinating. And they're all like, it's got that same sort of Smash Brothers Kirby style of production where everything's... Like, at the end of each video, it's like, lesson completed and stuff like that. It's
awesome.
So much fun.
That's great.
And just watching someone who knows what they're talking about the thing they care about is a joy. Mm. So it's, I've really enjoyed watching this channel. I forget the name of the fucking channel, but if you search for like Sakurai game development tips or whatever, it'll be there.
Don't, you might get some videos of the tennis player, but sift through them.
Be careful.
Yeah,
it's kind of awesome because Nintendo so rarely go behind the curtain at all.
Right.
Like there's an art book of Mario Odyssey, which I've got, and it's like, I just devour all that stuff of like concept sketches of like, here's what we were initially thinking for this world and then we abandoned it and here's a design of this character that we kind of got rid of. Like Pixar do a lot of those kind of books. I just love all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they so seldom do it, and I really, God, I wish they did more of it, because even just something like the whole concept of the Switch Pro being blown out of proportion to the point where it was like weekly people were convinced that it was going to happen and then it just hasn't. And there's got to be a but they're not a company that's ever going to come out and go like, hey, here's what happened. It was a chip shortage, which is probably what it was.
Here's the wireframe of what it might
have been. Yeah, but it's all that reporting stuff I find so fascinating. Yeah. Like I just want to know from them. I find any kind of behind the scenes sort of stuff's like so interesting of why these kinds of things do or don't get up.
Right.
Yeah. But they're generally so tight-lipped on that sort of stuff.
With most things as well. I mean, it's all business stuff, so sometimes there's literally NDAs and whatever
that get
affected too. But like, you're right that Nintendo especially do seldom do it, and seldom is the name of the princess, not the main character. But they...
You can still get pregnant from seldom.
They do like that. I loved that Ask Iwata book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
every
right.
Foot there, Tommy, you're on the cord. Sorry, there's someone's given birth in here. it's.
You know what you
need? They know how to make games.
You know what? You need someone to leave the company, because Reggie has been. So I bought a Game Boy Micro online the other day, and I was looking up about the Game Boy Micro, and then remember there was that little kind of almost tour that he was doing where Reggie, after he left Nintendo, he would be doing a lot of public speaking stuff, and just every now and then he'd just let some new little tidbit go.
I vaguely remember
from like 10 years ago, like nothing current, because obviously NDA stuff, he can't be going like, yeah, we were working on the Switch Pro when I left. But there was one where he was literally like, yeah, I never understood the Game Boy Micro, didn't get the point of it, easy to see why it flopped, not for me. And it's like, great, well, anyway, I've just bought one off eBay.
Yeah, they're so small. But you got that Game Gear mini thing, and like the screen is a little bigger than that. It's just like, you know, if your eyes are good.
But the Game Gear mini was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it was so
small.
And
it only
small.
Had 4 games on it. I'm going to get a little flashcard thing and just load all the ROMs onto it, and then I just like the idea that I've got this very, very tiny little thing that just has the entire Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance library on it, just ready to go. I'm pumped.
You're speaking my fucking language.
Because, oh, and I forgot to bring these, but I'll show you guys next time you're around at my house. Mm. I ordered 2 books online that came very quickly from a site called Pixel Crib. I got a book called A Handheld History, which is like it's a complete compendium of... obviously, mostly focusing on the Game Boy, because that's like the big industry one. But then it goes through the PSP, the Vita, and then it's got like a back bit of like the Wonder Swan Pocket, and the
Game
Switch
Gear.
Has a bit of color. Yeah, Game Gear,
Neo Geo Pocket Color.
Yeah, Link, all that
Atari.
Stuff.
The, I mean, Atari Lynx.
Yeah, this is like the formal
hospital
bird.
I was doing the roll call. Yeah,
present.
Well, they've. Was here for a brief bit, but it left the school ages ago.
I had one.
Flunked.
Mine was a present.
Yeah.
From my grandparents.
A friend had one with like a big car charger. I remember being in a car once in the back seat with like
a cord
that like went up over the ceiling and it was on hooks and shit. That was crazy.
Yeah. It took 12 AA batteries and you used them in like one play session. So.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I had Rampage on there. I thought that was the coolest shit in the world.
I had Batman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was not that cool.
But this book, it's so good. It's got like little essays about it kind of goes through, the history of all of them, and then there'll be like different people have written essays about like their memories of handheld gaming. So there's a whole thing about like just a guy talking about the original Game Boys and how they never had a backlight in them. That's why I got the micro specifically, because it's one of the only ones that has like the backlight built in, and just the whole thing of like that was just part of it that we just accepted. You have to be, if you're on a car trip, then it's getting to dusk.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
You might be pulled up for a bit under a street light, and then you're getting a little bit of light in there. But it's like, it's so thorough, and then there'll just be double page spreads of like, there's just two pages of just all these different editions of like the Game Boy Advance, like the Pokemon one and the like clear, lots of box art. Yeah, essays about the games. It's so thorough. It's like beautifully put together. They've commissioned all these different illustrated double spreads of like games characters and stuff. And then the other one I got is a history of JRPGs. Mm. And it's like a big, thick encyclopedia. And again, big descriptions and sort of essays and a bit of kind of reviewing of pretty much every JRPG that's ever existed. So every Final Fantasy gets its own entry. Every Dragon Quest gets its own entry. And then there's like a kind of, there's a section for just like miscellaneous one-off. There's like old PC JRPGs. It's like the whole history of like back through PCs, through modern consoles. Lots of screenshots, lots of box art. Just this huge, thick compendium, which one of those things that you get and you go, this is awesome that I've just got the entire history of it in my hand. And then you read online the next day, hey, a new one's just been announced.
Right.
You're like, God damn it, this book's obsolete now.
Yeah, send me a new page.
But yeah, they came, they both turned up within about 48 hours of ordering them. This Pixel Crib site, it's got like, yeah, heaps of different shit on it, like books like this and yeah, vinyl soundtracks of games. Nice. Can't recommend them enough. These books in particular, like great things to have in the library if you kind of like this sort of stuff. Like I'm sort of sitting there and reading this handheld history book as if it's like a novel. Like I am actually going through it in order. But just one of those ones that you can have sitting around and just feel like, you know, leaf through a page of the JRPG one, read up about Dragon Quest VI and be like, all right, time for bed.
Well, it's lucky you
Pixel
got them.
Pixel Crib.
Because just recently, this was January 10th, Sega put the kibosh on a book about the Mega Drive.
Oh.
I've seen that happen a few times because, yeah, there are like these...
Bitmap books is the other one because I've seen that they do, I think, like the... Like every NES game that's ever been released.
I think there was a Nintendo 64 one that was maybe them that I thought about. I've never actually gotten one of these sorts of things. But yeah, there are a few companies that make this sort of just like history celebration, nicely graphic designed.
Pixel Crib have a SNES one that's like every box of every game. And of all the regions, which is sort of like, you know, SNES box art in particular in the West just sucked ass. Just gold with Zelda written on it. And then you get the Japanese one and it's like, oh, this is tight.
Yeah.
Or famously Dragon Quest, they had Akira Toriyama of Dragon Ball and Dr. Slump doing the artwork on the boxes from day one.
Yes.
And then they bring it out in the West and they change it to, is it Dragon Hero?
And some muscly
and it's
fucking...
just some generic, just very dull kind of, Dungeons and Dragons. Not to say that that's dull, but just like...
But it is that...
No, not that same personality.
Right. Exactly. It's not a representative style of art at the very least. Yeah. And it is more generic.
Is the JRPG one Pixel Crib or is that Bitmap? Because it's on their website.
It might be. I think Pixel Crib, I think they just sell this stuff.
Oh,
they're
just,
I think they're a store. I don't think they're a publisher. Because I think the JRPG one is made by Bitmap. Because the handheld one's made by a company called Retro Dodo.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think I feel like I've come across a lot of these.
Right.
But yeah, so Bitmap were the people who had to be like, yeah, sadly, it was printed. It was ready to sell.
Yeah,
and Sega were just like, it's all our copyright material, which it is in all of them.
It's fair.
Like, it's just,
I mean, it's crazy that Nintendo didn't come down on handheld history because they're the ones that are more litigious.
Yeah.
I guess there's fair use laws around those things that I'm not equipped to talk about. So I'll stop.
Yeah. But it is, it's like if it's like news or if it's academic.
If it's reviewing in some way and like adding, if it's like significantly altering tends to be
But it can't be simply like for entertainment value for profit. Because I used to work at like a news organization where it's like they would ride the line and the CEO's defense would always be like, just say it's fair use, we're reporting on it. But there are, you know, use cases where you just can't do it because it's like profit.
Yeah,
and if the main thrust of your book is get a load of this art and you're not the owner of any of the art, then that does make sense.
Yeah,
and you've gotten it in a way where you've gotten it in a slightly dodgy way. This handheld history book is one of the few times where a sponsored ad has come up where I'm like, you know what, I am interested in this.
Right.
That's how it came across my radar.
I think those have happened to me as well. Yeah. The fucking algorithm knows its shit.
Well, and I bought it and now I'm getting even more ads for it. I'm like, guys, You got me.
Well, you do like it, so...
I know, but it's like, I can't buy it again.
Yes, you can.
Oh, I can. But it's like, guys,
what if you had two copies?
Yeah. Chuck something else in the mix.
You could look at one with each eye on different pages. Ooh. And learn it twice the rate.
Holding two telescopes.
Because you mentioned that Switch Pro, and I don't know if we talked about it last week, because it happened while we were having a little break. All that stuff with the Switch Pro came a lot more clear and crystallized of like, it definitely was happening, and then they had to pivot because of chip shortage.
Right.
Like a lot of insider sort of stuff.
Yep.
A lot of this stuff tends to come out from their like investor meetings.
Right.
Mm. There'll always be stuff where it's like, hey, look at this pie chart. This is the answer we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
There will be a new Mario game.
Mm-hmm. So just kind of good to get a little bit of confirmation that it wasn't just like everyone getting excited at the same time. There were real reasons why people were saying that's coming, and then the OLED Switch is obviously just like
the compromise.
A left turn to like, well, fuck, we've got to do something.
It's like 30% of the stuff that would have been in the... It's like,
right,
we would have had a better screen, it would have had the LAN port. Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes sense, and it's needed, but we've talked about the Switch 2 and a possibility of that for...
It is just such a funny thing to think back on of just 2 years, and the fact that... I mean, I'm sure this is no coincidence that they were the 2 years that... align almost exactly with the dates of the pandemic and people being in lockdown,
right,
where it was just manic,
yeah,
feverish reporting from like Bloomberg and Forbes getting in on the act,
yes,
and like every like two E3s in a row being like, here we fucking go. And it's like, now you look back on it, it's like, yeah, the fact that we're all trapped inside probably does have a fair bit to do with how carried away we all got with the rumor mill.
Yeah.
What is our excuse for the NX stuff, though? We went insane.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Imagine it did, exciting. That was real. Like, that did become...
Well, that
the
one
Switch,
was exciting, so, yeah, because it was like they were on the ropes.
Exactly.
Wii U had been such a big bomb. And I remember us talking about, like, if this one tanks, that could be it. That could be done. They could turn into Sega
and just
be putting Mario games out on the PlayStation 4.
Which would still be good.
Would
that
not
would have
be
been
the worst
awesome
thing in the world.
Yeah.
Speaking of being on the ropes, Stadia is officially dead now.
Yes.
So not only on the ropes, in the bag and under the ground.
Yep.
And they did last minute release like an update for that controller so that it will work as just a Bluetooth controller now, which
is there
nice.
Is there like a kind of an obituary cartoon as the Google Doodle today?
Oh,
it's just the 21 gun salute.
The Stadia up at the pearly gates meeting the Ouya. I've been waiting for you. And also I crashed 5 times while I was waiting for you.
Yeah.
It's gone without much fanfare. Like,
yeah.
You know, when it got announced it was shutting down, everyone said their piece and whatever, and it's dead now. No one seems to mind. I really want one of those controllers now.
Oh, yeah.
Now that's such a weird thing.
It's a museum piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, behind
man,
glass.
I got the Game Boy Micro on the way. Let's all start making some stupid gaming purchases.
I'm not getting the PSVR 2, all
Come
right?
on, Ben. Come on, Ben.
They're good at supporting things that don't go well. Look at the Vita.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being on the ropes... And some people who may not be able to afford new game stuff.
Yeah.
Microsoft are firing 10,000 people.
Right, yeah, across the company.
Yeah.
So not just Xbox or whatever, but yeah.
But including Xbox and Bethesda, apparently, which is...
What about Bill Gates? Is he out? He works at Microsoft.
They've exiled him to a small little island that he loves.
he resigned. He got ahead of it, I think. But yeah, and then apparently Amazon, this was announced like... What is the date? Like 2 weeks ago, I think, that Amazon are firing like 18,000 people, some of which are like in the comics section. Because I think they like bought Comixology.
Comixology, yeah.
And they've a lot of those people are getting the arse, which is a shame.
And
they've got a games development division now too. So I assume there's a couple, I forget which ones, but like it's all, you know, the way stuff's going at the moment. There's a lot of companies doing that sort of thing similar to about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Did we talk, by the way, did we talk at the... I don't know if we ever talked about this when it got announced, but... God of War is being adapted for television
by Amazon
as a Prime exclusive. So it will definitely be bad.
Yeah.
I saw chat about Dave Bautista being a front runner for Kratos, which I don't think is the worst.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a surprisingly good actor, honestly.
Yeah, he's like, been good in every... He was good in Glass Onion.
Yeah,
he's good
Blade Runner he was good in. Yeah. Yep. Oh, and he's the Thingo guy from the fun show.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He was a wrestler for a bit.
That's acting. That's
and,
awful.
And he was the guy who Christopher Judge like tweeted, like, I wouldn't cast him as Kratos.
We talked about this off air, right? This was the other day.
Christopher Judge must have seen some article and retweeted a thing about Dave Bautista potentially being Kratos. He was like, not the decision I'd make or something.
Right.
And then clearly got an email being like, oi, what are you doing?
People love this guy and we might cast him.
This
is a strange
decision to make.
We're not casting you.
Yeah.
I guess is the thing, yeah.
Which he's got the right frame and everything. There's no massive...
I'd cast him.
But it makes sense that you also want names attached. It's same as with The Last of Us show where Troy Baker in particular, like Ashley Johnson is too old to play Ellie, but Troy Baker is roughly the same age as Pedro Pascal probably and could be.
They both look as different from the game model as each other, you know?
Like, they could look like the guy who that character's meant to look like.
Yeah,
I gotta say, I hate the game adaptation thing, and I know that Last of Us is doing this, of the voice actor... You know, they're not playing the role, but they're turning up somewhere in the show.
Mm.
I don't know why. It's annoying.
Really? Because there's
I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know.
And we didn't know this at the time with the first episode of The Last of Us, and this is not like a spoiler or anything, but it's literally casting. The actor playing Marlene in the show is the voice actor from the game.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I thought that was sick. And she was a great, she's a great performer in it.
Yeah, they've said Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson will be showing up as other characters or whatever, which...
I think you're just scarred from Nolan North's shithouse cameo in Uncharted.
It's just genuinely bad. You know, it's a bit... I mean, this show's great so far, so I'm sure they will do it more elegantly.
Mm.
But it just is a bit like... Anything that's just too much for the fans, it's like, just make the thing
as like, best as you.
My favourite shows are the ones that hate
me. Like Charles Martinet not being Mario in the movie, but then they said he's showing up doing something. It's like, well, what's that? Like, you know, it's kind of, just cast him then.
The bad version is when it's a cheesy nod.
Yes.
Like the Nolan North thing makes no sense in the context of the movie.
It sucked.
And if Charles Martinet shows up in the Mario movie and there's like a guy at a shop they go to and he's like, what do you want from at the shop?
Right.
And then Chris Pratt goes, that guy's got a weird voice, huh? That will be shit.
It's almost definitely what
it
will be.
And if he kind of looks like Mario or, it's...
I think that's maybe why I hate the idea of it in this Last of Us show is because, almost everything with video game adaptations up until this point, it's always terribly done.
Right.
So I have to assume the show will do it because they are good actors in their own right, so they're just having roles. Hopefully it's fine, but they're just, I don't know, it's just a bit of the announcement of going and guess what? They're in it. It's well, they're in the other thing.
You still have too much self-hating gamer in you of I don't want the cultural cringe of my games invading my game adaptation.
Yeah. I don't need them. I'm already interested in watching it. It just doesn't excite me.
But I bet there's a large chance that if you'd have just watched the show without seeing any news and saw them pop up, you go, oh, hey, that's cool. But the articles that are thank God that Papa King and Zaddy Queen are, that's maybe the aspect of it that bothers you.
That's such a... I'm actually, now that I think about it, my prediction for the Mario, for Charles Martinet cameo, is Mario getting kicked in the balls and having a high voice for a second. And being ow! and then be like... Anyway, I'm back to being having a Chris Crap.
You know what would be cool? You know how there's that I don't know what the origin. I think that there's a fucked up version of Crash Bandicoot that's in. You can unlock him in Crash Team Racing.
Oh.
I think the story of it was there was in Japan they had a licensed toy of Crash, and they just fucked the design of it so bad, and he looks all mutant.
Right.
And then the developers just kind of saw that and found it funny. And then they've put him in a couple of games as an unlockable. He's called Bad Crash or something like that. But he looks all just even more demented than Crash. So if it's a fucked up version of Mario that's just got the... Or you know what? We haven't seen any casting of this. We haven't seen him in any of the trailers. And, as him being my favorite character in that universe, I'm personally wondering... where's Wario in this film? And Martin Lee does the voice of Wario.
Right, okay.
So maybe he's just doing, maybe there's just like a tiny little Wario cameo and he's just doing that voice.
If you ask him where's Wario, he will be like in between like a red and white barber pole that makes it hard to see him and like a guy lying with red and white shorts on the beach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where's Mario's dog?
God, Mario should have a dog, honestly.
Why doesn't he have a dog?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Little dog friend.
There was like that big dog in Yoshi's Island. Or I think Yoshi has a dog.
Right, right.
Yoshi has a dog.
So like Mario's dog is Yoshi.
Exactly.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Luigi
true.
Has a dog. Luigi has Polterpup.
Oh yeah.
From Luigi's Mansion games.
Chain Chomp is like a dog.
Chain Chomp is like a dog. Why does Mario have a dog?
Yeah, and in the trailer there's like a million Yoshis.
Anyway, I hope that all the people who are getting fired that started us talking about this land on their feet.
Hopefully they're listening to this.
It just occurred to me that we brought that up and are like, why doesn't Mario have a dog? Before going like, oh man, what shit news to hear?
Well, maybe people from Nintendo are listening and they're worried, you know, they're seeing all these people on the chopping block of Microsoft and they're worrying like, maybe our company's going to be next. I need to make myself indispensable to this company. So you run into Doug Bowser's office and you go, Mario needs a dog. And
get
then the movie gets delayed
office.
Again. So they,
or even just a new character, a bit of merch, Mario dog would go big.
If they got the design, you'd have to, it'd be the scariest thing to have to be in charge of designing Mario's
Give
dog.
Give it to Big Shig. You know, he's still hanging around.
I think if anyone's going to fuck it up. but like,
one last job from Big Shiggy.
Does the dog?
I think he's got it in him.
Does the dog? I swore I'd never work on a Mario game again.
Dog might have a hat.
Never told anybody this, but when I was a kid, I used to wander around a dog park, and I had this one idea for a dog.
Dog could have a hat. Dog could have little overalls on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Someone bursting into his office, and he's like, "Fuck off! I'm working on Pikmin 4. I've told you, I'm never touching a Mario game again. It's only Pikmin from here on in."
Big Shiggy.
Big Shiggy, come on, man.
Mario got to have a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
I've got to go downstairs and fuck up another Star Fox game. I'm busy. I don't have time for this kind of crap.
We got to not make F-Zero today.
Did they say, I feel like there was a news story within the past 6 months of like, there's no F-Zero game coming. There's no like.
Oh, really?
I've seen both where they were like, we're not doing it. And then there was another one where it's like, they're going to do it. It's that same loop that, you know, there's a leaker, a reliable leaker who'll say anything you want.
Yeah. You know. This is exciting for me that when I get my Game Boy Micro, I'll finally be able to play the most recently released F-Zero game.
Yeah.
I think it is. The last one is on
F-Zero
there, isn't it?
GP or something.
I think that's the last one they ever made.
Yep.
You'll have to review it then for all the people who can't access it.
Another thing you could do, if you wanted to, instead of doing that.
Damn. Go fuck yourself.
Is play some more Hitman 3.
Wait. You mean Hitman World of Assassination.
I do mean Hitman colon. The only purchasable Hitman game soon or now. I don't know quite when the date of all the changeover is happening, but they are deleting Hitman 1 and Hitman 2 from stores, and Hitman 3 will fold all of that stuff in for free.
Right.
If you have Hitman 3, I believe is the case. And they're adding a new mode to Hitman 3 as well called Freelancer.
Right.
Okay.
Which is like, it sounds kind of cool. You like, it's the same levels as the main games, but it's kind of a roguelike-y version of Hitman where you start from a base and you've got nothing and you go and do assassinations of, I believe it just picks like kind of a random NPC from that level and you've got to assassinate them and then you'll earn money and you can buy new equipment and
that's
the only stuff you can take with you. So they've gotten rid of a lot of like the axes and whatever that are lying around in the levels.
You
build over time to doing a bigger assassination, which is some new deliberately created for this people in some of the levels.
Ooh.
It sounds like it could be really awesome.
It's
a free update is my understanding for people who have Hitman 3, and I don't think you get any compensation or whatever if you had Hitman 1 and 2,
because you could already buy Hitman 1 and 2 from within 3, and when you would boot up 3, all those levels would just be in there on the main menu of 3.
It was sort of confused. I guess it changed probably from whichever platform you were playing it on. But like, if you in some way purchased Hitman 1 and 2,
them. You could just like open 3 and get to all those levels through the main menu.
Well, like when Hitman 2 came out, they did that with 1 as well. And like upgraded it to that new better version of the engine.
Right.
And sort of did a similar thing for 3. And then I think you could play them all in VR in 3.
Oh, right, yeah.
Maybe I've got just them all on there, but I've just never interacted with.
Well, now's the time.
I'm gonna go back in. Yeah, because there was a discussion in our Discord recently of some people who were playing Hitman 3 for the first time. And then the discussion turned to the title of the World of Assassination trilogy and how bad it was. Mm. And I jumped in and went, guys, I'm very sorry. I've got to interject here. You couldn't be more wrong. It's so good. It's just so good.
It's one of
the World of Assassination trilogy. Yeah.
I wonder what it spells as well for what they're thinking of Hitman as going forward, because you'd assume that this is packaging all of Hitman together so that their next Hitman thing will be a furthering of either this game or like
a new complete standard, like a
trying to create a one-stop Hitman shop.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Destiny style. Or whatever.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like, well, Hitman World of Assassination, which is your 3 game, is just the launcher, and if you go in and like any other eShop, you're gonna buy Hitman. Not 4, probably, just like Hitman Season 1, 2023 or whatever.
I mean, yeah, it's so episodic. And they were doing that originally with 1, right?
Right.
They were just bringing it. So they could just go, hey, yeah, here's 2 new maps.
Yeah.
Here's 3, you know.
Probably the move.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It seems like that is the move that they are working towards making. So that new freelancer mode, I'm excited to give a go. Hitman's really fun.
Yeah.
And having, if that's like a well-made, almost endless version of Hitman.
Right.
Fucking cool.
Well, people love games as a service.
Oh, they sure do. Especially if you hide the fact that your game has games as a service elements in it.
Yeah.
People really respond well when they find out.
It's a fun surprise.
And the announcement coming from a leak, and not only the leak, but then the lack of follow-up comment from the developer after the leak.
Yeah,
when that's the confirmation, people love that.
Here's my impression of the marketing team for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. What are we, some kind of Suicide Squad? Because we've just shot ourselves in the fucking foot.
And that's a death shot.
That's trying to kill yourself by literally shooting yourself in the foot.
Bang!
I always hear about how bad that is for people to do, so I thought it was instant death.
Ironically, if you were trying to kill yourself, you've shot yourself in the foot.
So Suicide Squad killed the Justice League. There was like a leak that seems to very much be a real thing, not a mock-up or whatever.
Initially, because it came from 4chan, and initially I was like, well, some little shit with too much time on their hands has Photoshopped this, and it's really good. It's a good Photoshop.
Right.
But it's been verified, apparently.
Mm.
It's a shot of a menu screen from which, like, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice. Yeah, it's enormous.
They have screens there for the menu?
They'll sing you happy birthday. It's got we haven't really seen actual gameplay really of Suicide Squad yet.
Not like sit down, here's 15 minutes. They pause and show you the menu and
is it dated?
It's May.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Coming out really soon. And so
it's May.
It's going to be May. And they
please no.
What?
May is the worst month. Between that and Star Wars Day. There's too many memes. There's too many memes about May.
Okay.
It's a minefield.
Okay.
Well, they...
What about October? Because that's the last month when you have to, like, that's when you have to pay tax. That's my least favorite month.
Yeah, it's true.
Although that's off-balanced, you know, off by Halloween being fun.
And there aren't many tax memes to annoy you. Maybe we should get into that. But anyway, Suicide Squad. We haven't seen much, and they still haven't made particularly clear, to my mind, which is a mind that pays too much attention to video game news, what the level of single playerness of that game is.
Yep.
They've got the cooperative, you know, 4 character stuff, but it's still a little, the actual mechanics of that game. So this is one of the first things we've seen, and it's a menu where one of the tabs there is a battle pass.
Yeah.
And literally with the words battle pass, I believe. They've since had this picture taken down in the places where I looked for it.
Yep.
So.
Which again, speaks to the validity of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Immediately it's like, is this real or not? Oh, it's been removed.
And yes, so like fairly reputable reporting places have had a chat with someone from the development team who has like confirmed like, yeah, it's in there. It's for cosmetic stuff. The currencies that you're seeing on the screen, and there were multiple sort of currencies there, there for upgrading skills. There is like a battle pass, but it's not pay to win stuff. But I think we're at the point with all of that, with like games as a service as a concept, where when it leaks into things that people have in their head as something that they want to be without it.
Yeah.
Especially a single player game.
That in your mind you're paying for when you buy the game.
And when it's like, you know, kind of a follow up to established the Arkham games had a way of doing things. And so.
And it's close enough to release that it's like, so why hadn't you said anything about this yet?
It feels
hidden. Is that because you feel like there's going to be. If it is just like, hey, you can pay to get some cosmetic stuff. It's like that's in tons of things. That's in like Resident Evil. You can pay $3 for a costume. Almost, Persona, you can buy new music and shit.
Like. Almost every game these days will have some deluxe edition that will have extra costumes and whatever. It isn't that weird that the Battle Pass thing specifically and like seasons.
Yeah.
Right. And I think especially with the baggage of that Avengers game from a few years ago and how poorly that went and how poorly received it was. And that was a similar style of game that when they announced this, people were like, is Suicide Squad like Avengers?
Mm.
And I believe they were like, no, it'll be different. And that you had the Gotham Knight thing as well recently, which was way less of that than I thought it was going to be.
Right, yeah.
So it's confusing and it's loaded language and it's monetization that people fucking hate these days.
It makes me think like, well, maybe there's just like a pretty hefty multiplayer thing in there where it's that's where you would fuck around with stuff. Costumes and shit like that. And it is separate to the game and it's something that shouldn't be too concerning.
But then how tied in does that get when, like, that's the idea with that Avengers game as well, right? Where, like, it's one of those things where I get why it gets people's blood boiling.
Yep.
But also, like, hypothetically, if it is this sort of separate thing, I mean, it's, like, it's this weird type of monetization that is in games now that, like, is a bit annoying.
Yeah. Oh, where, for sure.
And like
having played all the, like Ollie World recently, like from start to finish and all the DLC was paid, but you unlock so much customization stuff just from playing the game.
That's the thing is that cosmetic stuff is like the original one that made people mad was cosmetic stuff was the horse armor
from Skyrim.
Oblivion.
Oh, Oblivion. Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah.
Ages ago. And it's always been the case that the go-to sort of defense is, well, it's just cosmetic stuff. But cosmetic stuff has always been in games and it's always been fun.
Yes. And there's a lot of cosmetic stuff in games.
Yeah.
It's largely a visual medium.
It's a makeup shop in there.
Yeah.
It's all cosmetic. Yeah. It's barely any of it's real.
And you're saying this sort of stuff can be bad, but you're someone who you yourself have paid money in order to dress as Rick Sanchez in Fortnite.
Not the case. Well, shit, it is the case.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try and get a return on that now. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say in real life.
No.
To be clear, I
suppose since that's come up as well, we're not equipped to talk about that sort of real life stuff.
No.
With all that, because High on Life just came out. We just talked about it too. I fucking hate reading about all that shit with Justin Roiland. I hope that anyone involved in that gets what they deserve, whether that's positive.
Anyone involved? I think mainly Justin Roiland.
Well, and that people get... like the right to get justice if they're on the victim side of it.
Sure.
Right.
So, but you know, it's real life stuff and it's, but it does mean that like, well, fuck interacting with his stuff for me.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yucky.
Especially, boy, what a waste of money on Fortnite that was.
Yeah. I got the Morty one as well.
Exactly. A great way of demonstrating how insidious this type of monetization can be.
Mm.
It's just, it's annoying as much as anything too.
Right.
Well, and Fortnite, it's predatory at times.
Yeah.
It's like deliberately using like tricks that are in gambling machines and things like that to manipulatively get people to spend money on things that they can't necessarily afford. Like the EU right now is working on laws around loot boxes specifically, and trying to basically make that fix how gambling adjacent that stuff is.
Right.
So, having this in a game that didn't seem like it would normally be the sort of game that would have it is like annoying, but I'll be interested to see what they say it actually is.
Right. Yeah. Right.
In something like a Fortnite, that's free. So paying for those, you know, battle passes and skins and stuff, you can sort of go, oh, well, you know, games. $80, this was free. You know, if I spend a bit of money on this, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think, when the game is already selling at full retail value and then you're asking people to, it's like...
Right, which the full retail value is now more than it was
recently. Exactly. Yeah. It's this cost me $120. No, I'm not paying an extra $40 to be able to play it online. For, right. You know what I mean?
And like, when it's beyond even the money stuff, I mean, it is still money stuff, but like the when it's worded as a battle pass too, which I fucking hate as a term.
Yep.
It's like a throwaway. It's what they decided to use for fucking Dota 2 in like 2013, and it's just stuck for some reason.
I like how Nintendo they've always just called it the expansion pass, which is like that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's expanding the game.
And
they often the battle pass thing tends to be the ones where it's making you have to play a certain amount. And like I've been playing Marvel Snap and like enjoying having those daily missions and stuff in that particular game because it just gives you a little thing of what to do. And I would be playing it that regularly anyway, probably.
Right.
But when every fucking game has some hook in it to try to get you to play it every day, it's draining and like irritating and it's easy to say like, oh, you can ignore it, but it's fucking there front and center. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the worst example that I've ever seen was the Shadow of War game, the sequel to Shadow of Mordor.
Because
it genuinely fucked up the gameplay experience. Right. The pacing was ruined and you had to spend, you know, like an extra 60 hours to grind to get to a point in the game where, like, in the sequel, I mean, sorry, in the previous game, it was like a normal game with normal pacing.
Yeah.
Sequel was fucked with all of that shit, but you could pay to buy the currency to skip all of that stuff. Yeah. And it ruined the game. No one gives a fuck about that series anymore.
And it reached sort of an apex there around that time. Like, Apex Battlefront Legends. 2, yes. People got mad about, and like, but like, I think that there's some other peak we're at now where like...
Yeah, it's more insidious. It's less obvious. Mm. And it's clearly like Rocksteady have snuck this in.
And it's, yeah, exactly. It's companies testing the waters with what they can get away with, literally.
Yeah.
Like legally speaking in some parts of the world too, with literally what they can get away with in close to a criminal aspect. Yeah. You know, like,
I just don't think that this game gave that impression. That's the other problem. Exactly. It's like a first-person shooter.
And they deliberately...
Okay, well,
there'll be some stuff
this genre always has this stuff in. But this, and again, you're talking about their pedigree and the game that this is kind of like a follow-on from, in the sense that it's like the, you know, same overarching kind of intellectual property kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's the main thing is like, you sons of bitches, there was no, you know what I mean? This wasn't on the table at all.
Fans of the single-player third-person action game are like, hey, at least this is where I get my complete story, my proper like fun experience. Well, not tainted by that stuff.
And the only reason you say with a first-person shooter is that, like, well, of course I have it in it, is because over the years they have done it so often that you now take it as a given.
Mm. Right.
But that was worn down into people over the last, like, 15 whatever year. You know, like, that wasn't always the way. And it's the same with, like, fighting games now have a very similar, like, Dead or Alive 5, I think, was the one I remember being like, there's 1,000 costumes and they're all tit-based. And it's like, and...
The what are they called? The DC fighting games.
Injustice.
Injustice and the Mortal Kombat games have a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Cosmetic stuff locked behind either like really extended progression stuff or you can just buy it if you want to.
Once people go like, well, that's just what these are, then it's easier to get away with the next time as well, you know? So we'll see what it is.
At least we know America will never outlaw it. The beautiful state of America.
The land of the free.
That's right.
And who knows what Australia will do? It'll be interesting. Yeah. And I don't know how, but like if you've got to make a version of it that is different for another part of the world, often that stuff spills into the, you know, every version. But we'll see what happens with that. You gotta spend your money wisely.
That's true.
And you know a way that you can do that?
I want to pay to win when it comes to my personal hygiene and my cosmetics.
Yeah.
Then you, boy, do I have the battle pass for you. It's a one-time pass.
Thank fuck for that. That's
true. It's like every transaction outside of the casino is technically paying to win.
Oh, man.
Hey, I went down to Coles and I gave them $40 and I got this bag full of food that I can eat.
It sucks. Food is a fucking battle pass. Because like if you're buying fruit, that's a loot box because you get a bad apple every now and again.
And it's seasonal. You got to keep up with what's, you know, just being released.
I got to fucking eat my dailies every single day.
I got the worst avocado of my life the other day. And I was trying to make guac with it and it was like, fucking, I may as well have been trying to mash up a brick.
Oh,
it was awful.
The EU
so
is trying to make it so that you know exactly what fruit you're getting.
Yeah. And anyway. Sure, you can squeeze them a bit when you're in there, but post-COVID, you're feeling bad putting your little mitts all over them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I needed one of those purple or orange avocados.
Right.
Yeah. If you cut open an avocado and it went, epic.
Animated.
Apparently a tip, you can microwave them for 30 seconds if they're not ripe.
Really?
Yeah.
It seems so obvious.
I'd be
now.
Scared of putting an avocado. In my head, I'm imagining the pit in the middle exploding in the microwave.
No, I think if anything, it'll encourage it to grow a second avocado tree out of it.
Well, that's what Oprah does. You ever see that interview with Oprah on The Daily Show? And Trevor Noah's like, what's something normal that you do? Like, you're this crazy rich person. What do you do that's normal? And she's like, oh, well, I take my own bread when I fly somewhere because I love bread and I love avocado. So I've got my own avocado orchard. Like, you are so out of touch.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, you know who's in touch with what the people need? The people at Manscaped who make the games as a the shaves as a service.
Ooh.
Products that we like. They're personal grooming products. We've talked about them here plenty of times, but if you've not heard that, it's I've said it. Personal grooming products.
Personal grooming. They got the Lawnmower 4.0. They got the ear and nose hair trimmer.
Yeah, which Tommy's been plugging a little too far in. It sounds like scrambling things up in there.
I don't know why. I find that every time you guys take the lead on saying that product, in my head I'm like, boy, I could never do what they do.
Ear and nose.
I find it to be a tongue twister. Very simple.
You think about what hair it trims and then you say it. Ear and nose hair.
Ear and nose hair.
Ear and nose hair.
Yeah. I don't know why I've just got dementia.
They work well, and they the other products they make have been good too. I like their shampoo and body wash.
Mm. Yep.
And you can get these things in like packs. There's the performance pack, I think, is their like lead sort of thing.
Because I think that's the lawnmower and the ear hair and nose hair trimmer and a few other things.
You get like a little pouch, a little leather pouch.
The bag's good. Great quality.
I've flown with that bag a number of times, putting my bread and avocados in there.
Yummy.
The platinum package is like the other stuff, the body wash, the toners and the conditioners and things. And it's all good. It's all very high quality stuff. They keep sending us new versions of them, but all of the old versions still work.
A little cradle charger thing that I really like to plug it in the bathroom.
A little light, it's waterproof.
Yes.
Great product.
Fantastic.
Great product, and they support the show. They've been doing so for a very long time.
Yes.
So if you've been on the fence and, if you like the show and you want to support the people who support us, get onto Manscaped, put in the code FILTHY.
That's right.
That's right. Check out,
and you're going to get a load of this, boys. Woo. 20% off, and not only that. That shipping cost? Fucking keep your pennies. Keep your pennies for your battle pass. Because that shipping cost, it gone. Wow. Bye-bye. Bye, bitch. Bye, Felicia.
Well, you know, the rising price of everything in the world is hitting us all hard. Mm. If I can get around some shipping costs and
that's
some
great.
20% off on a product I was going to buy anyway.
And help out a podcast.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Oh, that's also true. I don't think we ever really say it that much, but using our code... It massively helps us.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's really nice if people do that.
You might be thinking they've been advertising on here for a lot, and the reason for that is they're getting a lot of little cunnies putting that code in.
That's right, yes.
People really listen to these guys.
Yeah.
I was about to say thank you for doing that, but really you should be thanking us for putting you on.
I'm going to pull you back.
Thank you for doing that.
let's do thank everyone.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. But they're good products is what I mean. So you'll be thanking yourself for giving yourself a little gift.
Manscaped.com. Exactly,
use the code FILTHY, 20% off. Free shipping.
Mm. Yeah. And hey, speaking of shipping.
Mm. Okay.
I've been doing a bit of sailing of the seven seas, boys.
Oh, my goodness.
Me and a ragtag bunch of misfits known as the Straw Hat Gang.
Oh, baby.
A few little pirates.
Yeah.
In search of booty. And I ain't talking about...
Yeah.
Well, I guess in this world I kind of am.
A little bit.
To an extent.
Monkey D. Luffy.
Mm-hmm.
Usopp.
Mm-hmm. Which is sort of my surname. Zora. Very confusing when that comes out.
Very, very, very hypocritical of you to pull Tommy up on saying ear and nose hair trimmer when I assume you've said all of those words wrong. Because to me, they're utterly meaningless.
I think I said all of them right. Nami.
Tony.
Tony. Et al.
Tony, I know. I've heard that name before.
Yeah, that's a real name.
You're talking One Piece Odyssey, right?
That's right, baby. I've spent more time watching the anime recently than I did playing the game. I played the demo. Tommy, you also played the demo.
Yep. So there's been a number of One Piece games over the years, including this is the one I think I would like. There's like a Warriors version of it.
Right.
Which I love that format of game, so maybe that's the one I should try. But this is a RPG.
Yeah.
First time they've done this style of game. It's a big, fully fledged. Yeah, you've got your party members. You're doing your turn-based battles. Mm-hmm.
It looks a lot like Dragon Quest XI.
It really does.
Find the time to play this, but the footage that I've seen of it, the battles and the style of open world it is, and then the visual style, which is makes sense because it's an anime that looks in the vein of the Toriyama style of anime.
Cartoony and colourful in the same sort of way. I played the demo. I've read like a little bit of the comics, but I'm not fully in the world. But I love this style of thing aesthetically.
Yes.
So I was kind of hooked in based on that. I quite like the turn-based battle mechanic. I like the way that's all working. It's doing something a little bit different where you don't just have a party that's all up against the enemy team and you're just attacking who you want when you want. You're all kind of broken up into little areas.
Mm.
So you can have a character move over to another area, but you have to sort of like defeat the enemy that's in front of them, and then they can kind of like move over if they want.
Yeah.
So just that adds an extra little element to it, which, you know, a lot of JRPG stuff does tend to be, even if you're loving it and it's a formula that works, something like Pokemon compared to Like a Dragon compared to Dragon Quest, they're all pretty much the same. Got your elemental stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking your turns. There's not really much opportunity to like mix it up too much. So anything that does introduce a new kind of little thing, it's like, this is cool. But I get the impression that if you love the anime, if you're deep in all the comics, you're loving this. You're going to have a great time with it. I did enjoy it, but it's just, I kind of just wish that mechanic was in like a new Dragon Quest or something.
Oh, interesting.
It's not quite doing enough for me to make me think like, yeah, I'll sink 100 hours into this, knowing that there's like a Fire Emblem and there is another Yakuza. You know, there's just a few things coming up that are going to be like similar length and similarly kind of like potentially, hours down the drain and pull me in. I thought it was, I didn't mind it. I liked it enough, but not enough to really think like, yeah, I'm going all in on this.
I didn't like it at all.
I will say I knew that was coming, which is why I went for as long as I could.
I really didn't like the combat. Like I feel like if they had, and I think a lot of, like, I've read a lot of people, you know, like just like audience responses to this game, and not a lot of the critical responses, but some of them. And a lot of people were like, hey, is this going to be just another anime game? You know, because there's like so many that are like just kind of fan service. They're just kind of like the least possible game that you can get away with while still being a game.
It's
a lot of I haven't played a lot of them, but it is a lot of the anime TV or the manga adaptation games are just like, yeah, we just like got this shitty company that, you know, farms these out. It's a copy of another game but done worse.
Licensed movie game, you know, it's often...
Yes, that is the good... Yeah, the licensed movie game of 20 years ago is a good comparison. And this, it still feels like that. It may be very long.
Yeah.
There may be a lot to do in it, but I thought that, the running around, it's like not really open world. It's very restricted, very linear.
Right.
The story is done in a way that I don't really love, where it's like the most, you know, superficial like framing story of like, hey, we washed up on an island. What's going on here?
One of us is missing. Let's go find them. I mean, I feel like that's just like a convenient way of like teaching you the mechanics, right? And it's very like linear and on rails, and it's like, hey, look, what are these things? They're attacking us.
True, we are talking about like how extensive is the demo?
I mean, it's pretty extensive. Like the first sort of like mission teaches you all of the stuff, and then you're going around,
and then you do a proper I think it's a few hours.
Yeah,
okay. And it's like demo progress carries over. I think they've kind of taken that from there was a demo of Dragon Quest XI, which was just unbelievably long.
Yeah, it was six hours or something.
It was so long, which is like a great strategy if the game's 100 hours.
Yeah,
you can give people six for free, like, and if they like that six, they're gonna, JRPGs are so, the beginnings are so drawn out, so it's like giving someone an hour is like, you're not giving them the game.
Yeah, But it, I do think like the whole framing story is that island, because then they're giving you these big chunks of flashback stories that are from the anime and the manga. Like it's huge, like full story arcs. So
the, my understanding of those two from just reading about it, because I'd never seen the anime, and so I started looking up like, well, could I play this if that is the case?
Mm.
And
put in main character nude first and then...
yeah, yeah. After I'd done that, I recovered, had a little nap, and...
wrote in my journal.
Like, the story is, I imagine not word for word, but, like, is overall written by the author.
Yes.
And is, like, flashing back to these, like, key parts of the show and then doing twists on them or whatever, and they're, like, non-canon, like, alternate versions.
Right.
Okay.
Sort
okay.
of thing, rather than it being just retellings of them. It's right. like, what if this had changed or something like that? Again, not having seen the show or played the game, this is what I have right. read about it, which sounds like... So people were saying like, so you can not have seen a second of it and still get it.
Mm.
But it sounded like the opposite to me, where like if you're going to do a what if
yeah.
sort of thing, or like go back to these key moments and do different versions, it would certainly be much improved by having seen
yeah.
the show.
Yeah, mm. I didn't feel like I was not getting anything out of it because of not having seen the show. I was like, yeah, this does work. That's the main thing I was reading in reviews, is like, oh, it's cool and surprising to see how well this show works in a JRPG format, because it's like it's a crew of them. You have yeah. a party in a JRPG, they're all kind of different characters, so it kind of works in that context. And like I said about it not hooking me in, I did like enough of the aesthetic stuff of it enough that like if I loved the anime, if I was like deep in on the other media of it, then I think I would be like fully all the way in on this.
Right. I wish that there was, because there's only the Japanese voice acting in the demo. I don't know yeah. if that's the case for the game. May well be the case for the game.
I think so.
Having watched the dub of the anime, I really liked the voice acting, so
right.
that was also kind of a yeah, shame sure. for me.
That's actually your fault for being a dub philistine, though. So.
I usually am a sub guy, but I do like the voice acting just is really good
sometimes
in
sometimes if
One
it's
Piece.
Just like the default when you start watching it and you go to like change it over because you want to be a purist or whatever, but you've heard just enough where you're like,
yeah.
oh, this actually isn't too bad.
Yeah.
Like, there's been some things, like I think Final Fantasy VII, the remake, I did all in English. Persona, definitely. Like, the English right. voice acting is so good.
Yeah.
And I kind of switched over for a second and I was like, this just isn't doing it for me
right.
in the same way.
It would be odd to, like, yeah, like, watch Pokemon with the Japanese voice
yeah.
acting, just having that attachment.
I think a lot of the times right. we're so used to, like, especially in games, a lot of the time the English dubs can be so, just the quality of the acting can be so bad.
That's right. often the reason I will play a game with Japanese voice acting
yeah.
is because of exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But visually, I liked it. Visually is probably the one thing where, yeah, I was like, oh, this is a really good adaptation. It's that sort of cartoony, not cel-shaded, but semi, you know, half 3D-ish.
That, like,
weird,
thin outline
yeah.
cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It is, and again, that's why I really got hooked into Dragon Quest XI.
Right.
Because of that, I just loved how it looked. And then, yeah, it was just, hooked into the story and loved the turn, like the mechanic of it and everything, and
right.
so yeah, this was kind of hitting all those same notes for me at the
but,
start.
Yeah, I didn't like the combat. I didn't, because it, so yeah, it sets up like a what looks initially like a traditional turn-based just sort of battle arena, but then yeah, it's like some enemies are over here and some enemies are bunched over here, and then some of your attacks will attack enemies nearby, or some of them will attack enemies over there in a different area. And then it also has this, like, not elemental, but like rock, paper, scissors thing of like,
yeah.
some attacks have blah and that affects enemies, blah, and it'll show you that it'll be weak to it and stuff like that. It just was like a little busy without being actually deep. And I was just thinking when I was playing it, like, I wish it had been more of a traditional JRPG where it did remind me of, you know, like a Final Fantasy VI or something like that, where it was just like, yeah, we've copied this and we've nailed it,
yeah.
and we've copied the traversal and the map, you know, just like, yeah, just do all that stuff, but give us the story and the visual style
yeah.
of One Piece, because that's why it is unique and interesting.
Mm. I really got sucked in by just the menus in the combat too. Like, it's bordering on like a Persona 5 level of style. And you, again, in JRPG, you get so used to just, it's like a very flat, plain menu that you're picking commands out of. I really liked in this that there's a bit more, you know, it's a bit more presentation to it.
Yeah.
That was kind of you know, not that that has anything to do with the gameplay, but I was just like, God, I wish that style would be copied a bit more in JRPGs going forward.
Yeah, I did like that as well.
Looking menus and style.
I also thought, like, yeah, you said, like, it was bordering on, it was like, it was almost good.
Yeah,
it was
like,
the idea is there, but like I said, as with a lot of these anime adaptations, I think the philosophy for a lot of them is, like, in terms of the developers and the publishers, is like, well, the fans are going to buy it.
Make it fine. Yeah. So. Make it not dog. Yeah, especially with licensed stuff.
Yeah.
All you have to do is make it a decent game.
Good enough.
And then if you love the show, just being, as long as it's not unplayable.
And it seems like this is a little above that for a lot of
people.
Who
I think
it
so,
is a little bit, yes.
It's getting, so if you're it's getting all pretty the way decent reviews. Yeah.
In on One Piece, having that big demo there as well, it seems good. But it does just... This style of adaptation of something, it does feel like at least for me, that's the reason I just couldn't find the gumption.
Yeah.
Because it's not really a courageous thing to
heart.
Do.
No.
It breaks my heart when I hear about someone being unable to find the gumption.
I know.
When someone doesn't have the gall, though,
oh, yeah.
I love that.
The stones? Don't even start me.
I didn't have the bricks to... Like, it just, I don't know what One Piece is.
Yeah.
And this is about One Piece.
Yeah.
So it's
hugely.
Yeah. And I want to watch that show at some point too. Like, I'm willing to bite the bullet and admit that I like anime. Well, and so I'm just going to start watching anime.
You got the gumption for that.
That's not good. Whatever the opposite of gumption is, it's almost more cowardly to admit that. No, but like these long running things are always so, you know, there's lots of anime jokes, but in reality, it's the fact that it's the scale of the production of this.
Yeah.
The amount of time investment has always been the thing keeping me at arm's length from things like One Piece.
Right.
So it seems like it's cool that it's there if you like One Piece.
I think that's it, right? It's like, if you already like One Piece, it's like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
And if you have high standards for games, it's like a 6 out of 10.
But it's
and
cool
that's
that
just
they,
not worth
at least there's only one point of difference
but,
in
but,
there.
You know, that is, in terms of choosing to play something or not, a 6.
Yeah. Especially an enormous 100 hour,
It's cool that they, rather than just do a generic... I mean, back in the day, you had less options when it was like 16-bit era and every licensed thing just had to be a platformer.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool that they've gone like, hey, let's try this different format and put this world into that.
It is weird.
And I think generally speaking, been success. They haven't completely failed at it.
Yeah, like, it's odd that they've never done this style before. It seems so obvious. It seems like it should be.
I think they did. There's one called World Seeker, I think, that was...
I don't think it's... is it turn-based, though?
I don't know if it's turn... but I guess I mean more of, like, the big sort of... I guess he said this was an open world, but, like, big kind of... That was, like, an open-worldy RPG. I don't know if it was turn-based. Ask me anything about One Piece and I'll get the answer wrong. But I'm going to find the time, sink a million hours into One Piece, play this... come back and tell you that you were wrong and it's the game of the year.
Okay.
That's my plan for 2023.
I look forward to it. Yeah.
Do you have physically, literally the hours to watch all of the show?
I don't think so. I don't think with anything as well. That's why I haven't, like, I would watch way more specifically anime if I didn't. It's like...
I think I'll do the manga
instead. It's like a drug. It's like the reason I haven't taken heroin. I can't afford the time or the money. But, you know, like it's such a... I think I would get so into it if I let myself.
Right.
You know?
I think try the manga because you can breeze through that a little quicker.
Yeah, that's true.
You can get that Shonen Jump app that's just like a couple bucks a month subscription fee.
Yeah.
And then through that, you've got all of it just there ready to go, including the new ones that are going up.
Right.
Our friend of the show, Andrew Levins, I know, did it recently.
Right. Blew
through the whole thing and, whoa, you know, it took him, you know, because it's like it's a comic. You can read an issue in a sitting very easily.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think he's up to date now and he's just going week to week.
That's what I mean. I need to track down the wizard that gave him more hours in a day than a normal person.
Yeah.
In spite of having 15 jobs and
seven
kids.
A whole pirate ship crew to look after. I say I don't have time as well, but I'm all the fucking way back in on Elden Ring.
Yes.
That's what I've been doing. I'm doing like a second playthrough of that, like a new game plus, mainly because I just...
Only second? Yeah. I'll talk to you when all right,
motherfucker. I'm following like a little... Because I went back and like captured a bit of footage for it for the Game of the Year video.
Yeah, yes.
That made me remember like, fuck, and talking about it, forget, you know, it's just such a good fucking game. And I'm following like this little kind of vague bullet point guide for...
The Extra Life one? Or a different one?
No, there's an app that I think has probably lifted a lot of its content from guides like that.
Right.
But you can tick off each step as you've done it as well.
Oh, interesting.
And it tracks if you want like all the items. And you so I'm going to get all those legendary armaments and whatever for the achievements and shit. Because it's just such a fucking... Like I got... I stumbled upon a more than a surprising amount of that side stuff.
Right.
Playing it through the first time, like the Fia questline and the Ranny stuff. And like.
You have that, you already had that From Software, like knowing that you have to like talk to people four times and
right,
all that
exactly.
Stuff.
There was a sense of like, now there's nothing in this direction because I've been there fucking 40 hours ago and it's useless to go back there. Time to go back there. Right, and then, here's little fucking skeleton guy being like, I'm only here for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You gotta come get me right now or I ain't never gonna be seen again. And I've got the best weapon in the game. And no one will tell you that I'm here.
Yeah.
And it's insane that I am here.
I'm
and
shy.
There's hours and hours of work that have gone into what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
And it's just real fun seeing all the extra bits and pieces that I sort of missed playing it naturally the first time. It's so much fun to swing a sword in the game Elden Ring. And also I found this website by like looking up maps and stuff for it that is called, I think I wrote it down, no I didn't, it's called like gamemaps.io or something.
Okay.
It's something like that. If you Google
I think you put it in the Slack.
Did you it's like It's
I mean, I just thought it up just then.
Lostgamer.io.
Yeah, whoa. That's I just texted that to you. I came up with that.
That's very good of you, Tommy.
I actually had written it down earlier and I found it myself. Much like how you would find yourself on GeoGuessr, and it's Elden Ring GeoGuessr.
Oh.
You get like a little spot, a 360 degree screenshot, and you've got to figure out where the fuck you are in the Elden Ring map, and that is sick.
That's so cool.
It's so much fun. So I did a few rounds of that and I'll never do it again. It's not that much fun, but it's but it's enjoyable. So if you liked Elden Ring, that's worth
Cool.
A look at
cool.
too. It's really, and just fuck, that game's good. We talked about it a lot within the last few weeks, but like it is like astounding fucking achievement. The scale of that game, the level of quality that it is able to keep up during that thing. And then all of the going and doing these side quests and getting more of the story, because I've never gone and really looked up the wikis and whatever about most of the story. I've seen a couple of things and whatever, but getting all of that told to you through dialogue, like there's this one character who you could, and I did, and so easily miss, who is like basically slowly going crazy throughout the game. And it's done so well, and the voice acting is really good in that game. All the weird British accents that you get and talking too slow.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Like,
you're to buy my prawn meat, do you?
You like prawns? I like prawns. You must be hungry. When you go back to him and buy more prawns, he's like, or you buy a lot of prawns and then go talk to him again, he's like, boy, you like prawns, don't you? It's sick. Just so much character and detail in that stuff that you could so easily miss. The game doesn't give a fuck if you miss it.
Right.
And so it's enjoyable going and seeing that stuff in sort of this narrative order that they've figured out for this guide.
Mm.
So I'm getting like more out of the story. Like doing Selen's questline, you know, like the witch with the big stone head. And like the ending for that is really cool. I'm loving it.
It's a really good game.
It's a fun game that I'm gobbling up again.
And it has that thing that used to be in games of like such an obscure thing to find.
Yeah.
It feels like it's something you've genuinely discovered. Like, it almost doesn't feel programmed and built. It's like you have stumbled across something in the forest in real life.
You feel like you're breaking the game, or like you've accidentally found one of its secrets. Like, it really...
It's just magical. It, like, it is just appearing before... Like, it is the beauty of games, where it's like...
Yeah.
It's that level of immersion and interactivity that you don't get in other art forms that, it feels magical. It's,
and everyone
it
really having does. Such a different experience.
Like, right, right.
That was like the, I've said this heaps on the show, but like that day that Breath of the Wild came out and just there being a bunch of people that I knew that were all playing it, and once they got off the tutorial bit, just everyone within 5 minutes having wildly different experiences. Right.
This is making me so excited for Tears of the Kingdom because you can't recreate that sense of discovery from the first time you play this game, unfortunately. Yes. Especially if you're like following a guide to try and find that stuff. But even if I wasn't, like, I know where stuff is now.
Yep.
I explored the whole map at least. And so I kind of am pretty across a lot of it.
Right.
So you can't have that same wondrous wandering thing anymore. But the feeling that does give you is why people get so upset about the games as a service stuff too, because that type of delivery of content robs you of every single bit of that sense of like you can go find the dumbest looking fucking hat in this game, but it was in the most interesting fucking place and the strangest guy gave it to you.
Yep.
That, like, I followed that fucking Jar Alexander around.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave me a jar to put on my head, and I look like an asshole in it.
Yeah.
And I'm clipping through everybody.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous, and it pisses me off to look at it. And I will wear that till the end of the game.
Yeah.
Because this little cunt thought to give it to me.
Versus like having paid $2 for the jar.
Exactly.
On a menu.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no.
Or someone else
there.
Fucking
yeah.
missed it, or I saw someone wear it, but it's not November, so I can't get it now.
Yeah.
But, like it is the old fashioned. It's not even old. It's just a fun way to have things unravel. Is surprisingly,
yes.
Who knew that people like to experience originality and surprises? And boy, am I doing that even in a second playthrough,
right?
Yeah. But it's like a lot easier because either like it's not tuned to be as hard in a new game plus thing. But it's just still a great game. And fuck me, if we haven't convinced you by now, you're never going to play that game because of our recommendation. Mm-hmm. And hey, congratulations on being so steadfast in what you believe.
Yeah.
A beautiful snowflake.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, I got another surprise for you.
Okay. I've just said how much I love them.
Yeah.
Lay it on me.
It's time to wrap up the episode.
Oh.
Wow.
That's so crazy. I didn't think that would be behind this, one of the four hidden walls in this game. And how could you ever find them?
Oh, if you pay an extra $2, I'll tell you about my experience playing Resident Evil 7. No, I'll say it now because it won't ever come up again. I loved it.
Yeah,
I played only about a third of it off the back of playing 8 and loving that. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm going to go back through. And like I said recently on, I think it was last week, I talked about playing 2 and 3 remakes. Went back in on 7, finished it, loved it. Haven't played the DLC yet, but that was included in the package whenever I bought it. I've got all of that shit, the like band footage and the other modes, the Chris Redfield stuff.
Yeah, I can't remember if I ever did that or not. I didn't.
But, and I may well do because I know that I'm kind of out of similar games.
Mm.
Well, I mean, I know 4 exists, but I'm going to wait for the remake.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So I may go play all that stuff, but I fucking loved it. And if you have a PS5 or if you have PS Plus, or is it just PS5, you get it free in that little collection.
Mm.
Oh, sure. I think that was a PS5 thing.
But it's probably been on PS Plus or something.
You have to have PlayStation Plus as well.
Yeah.
And I think that was I don't know what the status of that is now. I don't know if you even still get it. I assume that you do.
Or yeah,
you
the
mean
basic
in that
level,
like pack
right?
of games that you just get on
like
PS5.
25 of them or something.
Yeah,
I think I'm pretty sure it's in there.
Yeah, or it's probably like $15 or whatever. Like it's been around for a while. I highly recommend it.
Yeah,
loved it.
And
it was a good game.
Yeah.
Just in case you missed this news during the week, one final thing: there's a trial of The Last of Us Part 1 on PS Plus at the moment.
Yeah,
and that's kind of tied into the show, which is kind of a smart move.
Yeah,
I don't know if that'll be coming to the PC as well, but that PC version is coming out soon. And the other small bit of news that I forgot, because it's not that interesting, but it's cool if you haven't played it, Returnal is on the PC very soon.
Yeah.
I forget the date, but that finally got announced.
Yeah, they chucked up all the screenshots and all the, like, you know, graphics modes and stuff like that, which
great
is cool.
Cause
it's a beautiful game. It'll be one, if you have a high-end Pucker.
Yeah.
It'll look sick.
Which you'll need for Spoken too. They put out the requirements for that and it's like fucking ridiculous. So
yeah, right.
You also are required to be interested in playing the game.
I don't know. Ben's going to be acidic about it, acerbic.
I don't know if I'm going to play it, but we'll see.
I'm going to for this. I've got hopes beyond the what I've seen of that game so far.
Right.
That's going to be one where I if there's a Japanese voice track.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
one to chuck on for that, I think.
Oh, well, while we're doing all the the appendix, I watched, there was like a big long gameplay trailer or gameplay footage for Atomic Heart.
Yeah.
And it has American voice acting.
Yeah.
And it's kind of average.
It's really bizarre, and I've seen positive.
Look at those little fucking robots over there.
Hey, what is this? Some fucking fucking radiation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a weird one where that's coming up soon too, and I'm like a bit weird about it because I didn't realize quite how. It's like very the a lot of the money going to that game will go to like the Russian government because they assisted it in some way, which is an odd wrinkle in that thing.
Yeah.
There's a few of those coming up, like Hogwarts, where it's like, I have the moral justification of I want to talk about them on here.
Yeah.
But if it weren't for that, I'd be like, you know, your dollar is how you vote these days.
Yeah,
but anyway,
totally.
I would be all for it. With Hogwarts, I'm like, literally she had nothing to do with it. And also I can separate the books from the artist anyway.
Sure.
So,
and also
and I
even
support
if
the Russian government. No. No, I don't. But I've just wanted to play that game for so long. And I'm sure if the developers aren't, pro war then
yeah, and it's like on Game Pass, so Microsoft has spent the money that
right
is. Yeah, true.
But
yeah.
Like yeah, you're able to support like Ukraine and support trans rights and still be able to interact with that media that a ton of other people were involved in. Like it isn't as
right.
black and white as some people do paint it as.
And
like,
you're also welcome not to
exactly, it's up to the person.
Yes, totally.
Same as what I think should be everything. Everyone
can
decide.
I believe that sentence didn't make sense?
No, my choice.
Oh,
everyone
dear.
Do what they want. Yeah, it's a weird, confusing world we live in, and how to get by in it, that's the question.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing you can do.
Yeah.
Get into filthycasuals.com.au.
That's right.
And get on our Patreon.
That's right.
Support
that
the show.
Helps.
Get an extra episode every week.
You know that money goes directly to us. And
yeah.
5% goes to Patreon.
So, I think it's more than 5% as well.
Oh,
I think
really?
It's a fair bit that goes to Patreon.
Well, as far as we know, they haven't committed any war crimes. And we haven't.
No.
We've not yet.
I never will.
If I get enough money on this Patreon, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't want to rule it out
okay.
for myself.
I
personally.
Might declare right. myself a state one day.
get
I can't
on there,
say
get
that
a
I wouldn't.
Bonus episode every week
yeah.
About movies and TV and other pop culture.
That's right.
Check out Clicker, I Barely Know Her. It's on its own feed. You can look that up on your podcast app of choice.
That means it can get its own review if you would like to do that. It will
yes.
usually help us, especially now. The first episode just came out, so like this is the time that... places like Apple and stuff will give us a bit of visibility.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. If you
yeah.
review it and give us a positive little 5 stars or whatever, that fucking helps, please.
It going up,
same with this podcast.
Going up pretty
yeah.
hot off the presses every week. We're going to watch the episode, do the pod straight away.
Yeah.
So that's going up 3-ish, 4-ish p.m. Mondays,
yeah.
Australia, Melbourne time,
yeah.
Wherever that is. In so if you're watching it in the States, you know it'll be there fresh for you in the morning.
It will
after,
indeed.
After watching the show at night. But yeah, that's going to be there every week for the next 8 weeks if you want to get in on that. Get on the YouTube. We've got heaps of videos on there, long plays and one-offs and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Hundreds of videos on there. Always a lot of fun. Check
yeah.
all them out. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Yeah, One Piece Odyssey. Hey, when's Bikini Odyssey coming out? Huh?
Oh, wow.
That's more my speed because of One Piece.
I get it.
You get it?
Is this an Elden Ring guy?
Yeah. You want to buy some flesh off of me? I sell flesh sometimes, some of these people.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.